to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Kemmer, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. Today, we're going to take a look at MLW Fusion on Thanksgiving, but first, the news. First thing I'm going to do is apologize for everyone who's the ardent listener who downloads the podcast as soon as it comes out. Yesterday was Thanksgiving. Major League Wrestling was so gracious as to bring us back the tradition of professional wrestling on Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, though, I am a man who has, you know, multiple families running around, and I have to, you know, despite the persona of living in my basement, I do have, you know, responsibilities to family members, and had Thanksgiving multiple times, and it really kind of put a damper on being able to watch MLW in real time and get the podcast going. Really, I mean, it's still the same day. It's a couple hours late, so I apologize for that. In America, it was Thanksgiving, and I chose to gorge myself with family rather than watching wrestling for the evening. But, you know, nevertheless, we got this taken care of. We're recording now. Self-pitying aside, back in character. Let's get to the actual news, shall we? First of all, it has been announced that on January 21st at MLW Blood and Thunder at Gillies in Dallas, Texas, it will mark the debut of former WWE Cruiserweight Classic competitor Ho-Ho Loon to the company. No word on yet who he will be fighting, but he looks to be entering the middleweight division. I know he's doing like a two-month stint in America, December and January, I believe, and so... Whereas, like, I wasn't personally thrilled with him in the Cruiserweight Classic, and he is truly is a big get for MLW just for the networking aspect. He is kind of one of the people who spearheaded professional wrestling in China, and is the founder of Hong Kong Pro Wrestling Federation in China as well. So, you know, despite whatever I may feel of him as a worker, you know, he is, you know, a great networking tool for the company. Especially going into our second bit of the news is that MLW is instituting a new open door policy for free agents. We could joke about wrestling and the forbidden door, but MLW's joining in on the party and basically noting that, you know, right now, or at least within the, you know, the next 45 to 90 days is probably one of the bigger free agent boons in professional wrestling, even the history. And they're taking advantage of the situation and basically just saying, hey, if you're not signed exclusively anywhere, like, you don't need a contract with us to come, you know, face some of the best wrestlers in the world. So come on down. And we're already seeing a variation of this with the additions of Warhorse and Alex Shelley to an already, like, amazing roster for Major League Wrestling. So I'm kind of curious to see how this will go, what kind of, like, one-offs will pop in, and, you know, will we get some sort of, like, big beefy dream matches between, you know, Alexander Hammerstone and, like, dare I say, Keith Lee in the future? Okay, like, that could be reaching, but, you know, not really. Hey, Court, let's make that happen. I feel like that could be a lot of fun. But that being said, you know, we could joke about how this is how independent wrestling normally works, but again, we're dealing with, like, larger level indies who do have written contracts in place, and so it is kind of a big deal for a company that does issue contracts to allow folks come in for, you know, even if it's just one match only. So interesting to see where this goes into the future. Last but not least, the Von Erichs are rearing their legendary heads back into the MLW talent pool. They are formally issuing a challenge for the MLW Tag Team Championship in Dallas, January 21st. This is notable because this is the first time any member of the Von Erich family has challenged for a world title in Dallas in nearly 40 years. So best of luck to the Von Erich boys. They are need I remind you, former MLW tag team champions in their own rights, actually losing the belts to the current champions, Los Parks, early last year. So welcome back, boys, and congratulations to the new addition to your family, as well as Ross is a new father, I believe. I think it's Ross. That part I missed out on because I didn't consider that to be true MLW news. But that's on me. Roving reporter, mother's basement, not actually a friend of children. All right, let's get to it. Let's get into the hard-hitting action that is MLW Fusion on Thanksgiving. Our show opens with the recap of Contra Unit imploding. For those of you who have missed out, which why have you? War Chamber, big event, of course, with Team Hammer taking the victory against the Contra Unit. In the meanwhile, it looks like Contra Unit may be over. There is a recap of this video of the implosion, highlighting primarily the brawl between Mads Kruger and Jacob Fatu, but they've also interspersed the potential disagreements between Mads Kruger and Joseph Samael over who's the true leader of Contra, and of course the fact that Joseph Samael has refused to sign a rematch clause for Jacob Fatu for the World Heavyweight Championship. So, where this goes, nobody knows, but again, this is looking like a potential Haas fight that has me chomping at the bit, let's just be honest about it. Alright, the show opens proper. We got Rich Bocchini and Joe Dabrowski welcoming us and giving us the rundown of the show tonight. We have TJP versus Calvin Tankman in the semifinals for the Opera Cup. We have an interview with the Dynasty and Alicia Atoot. And of course, our main event is going to be a five-way ladder match for the vacant MLW National Openweight Championship. So, our show is going to open up with the last semifinal match for the Opera Cup. It is TJP versus Calvin Tankman. Tankman comes to the ring bandaged. He has previously been injured by America's top team, Alex Kane and King Mo. Gave him a nasty laceration across the forehead. Doctors are recommending him to sit this one out, but they cleared him anyway, so of course he's going to fight because, well, you know, if they cleared him, you might as well fight. And TJP coming off a first-round victory against Alex Shelley, though through some dubious means, wrapping himself into the ropes, ref didn't see it, so we get this match in and of itself. The match starts off with Tankman showing off his strength advantage early on, pushing TJP off, not really letting TJP mount any offense. Tankman starts his offensive with chops and a big one-armed beel toss out of the corner. TJP finally manages to out-wrestle Tankman a wee bit with some headlocks, but Tankman shoots him off, and we get kind of a shoulder tackle battle before TJP just says, "Nah, son, don't want none of this," and goes outside to take a rest. We go to a commercial break, and when we come back, inside the ring, Tankman is back to chomping and beel-tossing TJP all around. We get a little, 619-esque tease. Tankman is sent outside, but really, we don't do a whole lot with it, because we get just a brief shove-off. Tankman goes for a dive of some sort, but TJP crawls under the ring, and Tankman's like, "Well, I'm not diving into an empty pool." Yeah, so, he's a smart man. He's not going to dive into nothing there. But unfortunately, while this is all going down, America Top Team shows up, consisting of the Suplex Assassin, Alex Kane, and an unknown individual who also happens to be a big dude, so we should probably watch out for said big dude, because big dudes do big things to folks. But as this is going on, we still have a match. TJP shoots some water into Tankman's eyes, hits a big crossbody for two, and starts working over the limbs. TJP counters a suplex into an octopus stretch, doesn't get a tap out though. So he goes, distracts the referee, allowing American Top Team to attack Tankman outside the ring with a big clothesline German suplex combo. And TJP's just like, "Whatever, we're gonna get a count out off this." Spoiler alert. No countout was to be had. Inside the ring, Tankman mounts a comeback with a pounce and a backbreaker lariat combo for two. Gets some hot back-and-forth action with pin attempts and some big moves. TJP exposes a turnbuckle accidentally as he's trying to avoid, I don't know if he's going for a Tankman driver or Oklahoma Slam or whatnot. But this allows American Top Team to come in after TJP continues to distract a referee and just dumps Tankman face first into the exposed turnbuckle. We get a frog splash. 1, 2, 3. Moving on to the finals of the Opera Cup is TJP. And this was a fairly solid match and helped really kind of establish the American Top Team Calvin Tankman storyline as well. TJP gets his cheap heat, of course, by not winning this fairly, and he's making it to the finals despite not having a clean victory in the process. And then, of course, you know, the American Top Team Calvin Tankman feud is, you know, kicking it into high gear at this point as well. If I have to make one complaint about the match, and this is my only complaint, is that they really hyped up Tankman and his laceration, and his bandage came off during the match, and lo and behold, there was no laceration to be seen. And really, commentary didn't try to cover that up either. They're just like, gotta watch out for that laceration. But, like, we took off the bandage, and it was implied it was on the forehead. And, you know, his forehead was pretty clean. I kind of wish commentary would at least cover and say, you know, something about it, the cut being in the hairline or on the top of his head or something, just to kind of help cover for that. Because it did take me briefly out of it. Especially once, again, they were hyping up the wound, and, oh, it's off now, and, you know, we're just gonna talk about the wound, even though we blatantly, you know, can see there is no wound on the forehead. After the match, Alicia Toot comes out. She has a word with TJP. She knows that TJP should be ashamed of himself for how he's won this match and how he's won so far in the tournament, and TJP, like, is nonplussed. He thinks that people in Philadelphia should appreciate his hard work, and you know what? There's nothing harder than delegating tasks, and as a former middle management person, like, yeah, I kind of agree with that. You know, I like to do it myself. Some folks, just want it done. We need it done well, but sometimes you just gotta delegate that task, and that's evidently what TJP has technically done tonight. I don't think he technically delegated it, as I think American Top Team is working independent, but, you know, what do I know? So, it looks like next week, our Opera Cup Finals is going to be TJP taking on Davey Richards. So, a solid main event on paper, and these two already have history in MLW as Davey Richards' big, like, return match, return to action that wasn't the Battle Riot match, was against TJP. So, they got some history. We'll see how this goes. Alright, we are going to take a brief pause for the cause. Talk about the people who's willing to throw money my way for whatever reason. Keep me in the lifestyle I've become accustomed to. I'll see you all in one moment.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's CASS, at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are back, and the breaking news is the open door policy announced by MLW. We've talked about this at the top of the show, so I won't, you know, spend too much time on it. They also announced the first person to walk through this open door is Chinese competitor Ho Ho Loon, which we also talked about at the top of the show, so we'll kind of skip over that. We then cut to Alicia Toot with War Horse. And so when he's not ruling ass, Warhorse is now Parts Unknown's most interesting person. Warhorse is upset, though, that on the placard that they did not spell his name properly, despite it appearing to be spelled properly. But we all know that Warhorse is spelled in all caps, and it is not in all caps on the placard. Anyway, once we sort this out, we see Casey Navarro, who doesn't care about who's the most interesting person in Parts Unknown. So, obviously, that is fighting words. We have a brawl. Cut away. I assume this is going to be leading to a match, or at least I hope it does, because Lord only knows, we all need more Warhorse in our lives. All right, we also have Amelia Sparks backstage looking to talk to Calvin Tankman in the shower room. Sparks keeps asking the same question over and over again, and it's, do you think this would have happened to you if you would have joined American Top Team? And Tankman is like, no, I don't want to talk about this. I'm done. And Sparks just keeps asking it. And first of all, it is a stupid question. No, this wouldn't have happened if he joined American Top Team. They did this because he didn't join them, and Alex Kane was an alternate for the Opera Cup. I feel like that's silly. Two, dude told you to back off, and he's a lot bigger than you. Maybe you should back off. Anyway, Sparks didn't learn his lesson, so he gets pinned against the wall by his throat. And I, you know, despite not being a big fan of person on reporter on violence, but you're going to ask the exact same question over and over again, and the guy tells you to back off, you should probably back off, man. But Tankman goes on this whole spiel before Myron Reed comes to kind of save the day, reminding Tankman what the goal is, and to focus his energy elsewhere, not on a reporter. Next, we get an advert for Big Beef Gnarls Garvin. He is debuting in the next match on the show, but of course, we got a couple things to go through before we get to that match. First of which is another promo for Enzo. He is on his way to MLW. Following this, we have the Von Erichs. They are thankful for the fans and challenge for the MLW Tag Team Championships in Dallas. So, as of this point, it hasn't truly been, you know, confirmed or denied yet, at least as of the taping, though we confirmed at the top of the show that this is going to happen in Dallas, January 21st. Also announced, Yoshihiro Tajiri, MLW middleweight champion, has gone back to Japan, wrestling for All Japan Professional Wrestling. It looks like his first match with the title is going to be against Asuki Ayogi, and I'm going to apologize if I butcher that, but this match will actually also be broadcasted on MLW Fusion in and of itself. So, once again, the partnership between Major League Wrestling and All Japan Pro Wrestling has been back open. They used to have a relationship back in the past, around 2002, 2003 or so. And, yeah, let's rekindle that. We'll call it a feud, for lack of a better term. Well, let's just do it. Like, let's bring the best All Japan has to MLW as well. Alright, we now have the debut of Gnarls Garvin taking on local favorite Bud Heavy. Oh, Gnarls, as soon as the bell rings, just starts clubbering Tony. We hit a crossbody against the middle rope, which was pretty nifty. I'm not sure I've seen anything quite like that. I mean, something similar, like usually variations of like a seated senton and, you know, hip drops and whatnot. And then we get a backdrop driver and, you know, we got an easy night at work. Gnarls Garvin is your winner. Alicia Toot attempts to interview him after the match. He kicks Toot away, being classy, noting that she should go get him a cup of Coors, because obviously the only way to drink Coors Light is to drink it out of a plastic cup. Anyway, Garvin is there to chew up and spit out the competition. He is going to eat the breakfast, dinner, and lunch of any competitor in MLW that wants to step up to him. Since Alicia Toot has run away from Gnarls Garvin, she is backstage with the Dynasty. They note it is the end of Contra. Holiday really wants to point out the difference between the Holiday family and the Holidays. There's also a brief argument whether he's a babyface or a tweener before an associate of Cesar Duran shows up with some Rolex watches. Holiday, you know, notes the value of them, is excited for it. Hammer's like, no deal. We don't need watches. We don't need bribe money. We're not making any further deals with the devil. Once again, we are announcing MLW's returning to Gillies in Dallas, January 21st. We will see the debut of Ho-Ho Loon, a tag team match between the Von Erichs and Los Parks for the MLW Tag Team Championship, and much more action coming this way. Backstage, Amelia Sparks is with American top team, at least so we thought. But he wants to know who the new associate is that Alexander Kane has. And yeah, we get Mr. Thomas out of the deal, but it's really none of our business. But the most important thing is that they are splitting off from American Top Team. They're forming their own little group called the Boma Yee Fight Club, which I will always kind of giggle at Boma Yee, just because that used to be a Shinsuke Nakamura thing. And then, you know, they turned it into Kinshasa. But Boma Yee, Kill Him is the Kill Him Fight Club. So we'll see what that means for King Mo, if he's still going to be hanging around, or if this is going to be a new MMA-styled group in MLW. Backstage, Cesar Duran is with Alicia Toot and Emilio Sparks. He questions why we need, like, two interviewers backstage. Toot, like, notes that she's a people person, wants to bring, you know, person-centered pieces for MLW. Sparks, on the other hand, considers himself a wartime reporter. He's in the trenches, digging up the dirt, backstage, in between fights. Carly Perez shows up. She knows that she likes them both. But really, what she wants is exclusive content. So they both, I guess, get to keep their jobs and not fight to the death, which disappoints me, because I kind of wanted to see them fight to the death. But nonetheless, but she wants big exclusives. Like, she really wants the backstage dirt brought up by either Emilio or Alicia. Cesar and Katrina, Carly Perez, dismiss the roving reporters when the associate comes back with the watches. They don't seem too happy that their gift to Team Hammer was returned. Next week on MLW Fusion Alpha, it is announced that we will see featherweight tag team action with the undefeated Sea Stars taking on the debuting Top Dogs. We will also see Casey Navarro versus Warhorse. Hey, foreshadowing from earlier. Awesome. So looks like a going to be like a fun show next week, because I am a big fan of the Sea Stars. I've actually, since I've last talked about like the Top Dogs and whatnot, I've actually seen a couple of their matches, and they're a solid tag team for the featherweight division as well. And we've already established that Warhorse rules ass. All right, it is time for our main event. It is a five-way ladder match for the MLW National Openweight Championship. It is Myron Reed, Alex Kane, Alex Shelley, Zenshi, and a mystery opponent battling it out, fighting for the right to be called the second National Openweight Champion. Looks like our mystery person is ACH. Hey, he's a gentleman who's had various stints with MLW in the past, has actually received a World Heavyweight Championship match against Jacob Fatu within the past year. On the one hand, like, I'm excited for it because he is a great athlete, but on the other hand, he's a very start and stop character, and it's hard for me to fully get behind him if I'm worried he's going to just duck out again, as his style. So we'll see how it goes, but at least for tonight, it's going to be an exciting match. Which obviously is going to be an exciting match. We got it's five-way and ladders. So it is going to be a car wreck that I am all in for. Anywho, the match starts off with everyone laying the beat down on Alex Kane, but the Suplex Assassin fights back, taking out people one and two at a time. The ladder enters the ring, but everyone's fighting on the outside. We get a commercial break. Zenshi is trying to springboard off the top rope to reach the title belt. Everyone gets a couple fingers on it, though. Myron Reed responds to that by kicking him in the head. Zenshi climbs the ladder, gets kind of, I don't want to say truly knocked off, but he gets tipped over, and he walks along the top rope to balance himself off that. So that was kind of neat. Hits a top rope move from there. ACH and Alex Shelley kind of team up with the ladder to take out people. But unfortunately, of course, there's no teams in a ladder match, or at least not in a five-way ladder match. And they have, you know, fisticuffs inside and outside the ring. Myron Reed hits a springboard cutter on ACH off the ladder. Shelley hits a STO on the ladder to Reed. Reed then hits a springboard cutter on Alex Kane onto a ladder, but hurts himself in the process. And this is not, I phrased this in not the right order and left out things. So it's not like him being doofy and doing something that's hurting himself as well on purpose, but he went for the springboard cutter and missed who it was, but the ladder was slid underneath him while he was airborne. So the ladder was not there when he started the party, but it was sure as heck there when he landed, much to his chagrin. Oh, where were we in my notes from that? Shelly sandwiches and squishes Zenshi in the ladder, hits a big dropkick on him. Zenshi had already kind of hurt his hand in the ladder, so they're worried that it could be broken. I doubt it's super broken because he finishes up the match. Reed takes out Team Bomayi with a diving crossbody outside the ring. We have a four-way fight on two ladders. They all start clubbering, with the last two competitors being on the ladders is Myron Reed and Zenshi. Zenshi hits a nifty head scissors off the ladder on Reed. Unfortunately, this means that, you know, Zenshi took himself off the ladder too, and he has to recover. Alex Shelley goes to the ladder, but he is choked out by Alex Kane. Kane then climbs the ladder, last person standing, grabs the title belt, and wins. Your new national openweight champion, Alex Kane of the newly formed Bomayi Fight Club. He has his moment of celebration as Calvin Tankman comes out being held back by a whole batch of security. Oh, Kane is, you know, just taunting him as we go off the air. All right, that was a crazy go nuts match right there. And, you know, whereas I, at a certain level, definitely question, like, some of the folks in it in terms of, like, their win-loss records. I understand why they could and should be in the match. But overall, it was a fun match to be had. I will particularly shout out to Alex Shelley just for some of the offense that involved the ladder. He really incorporated it into his offensive repertoire during the match as well, especially with like the STO and sandwiching Zenshi in the ladder and squishing him that way as well. But fun match. And also it was neat seeing Kane get the Duke for the match as well, getting to be the national openweight champion. Not gonna lie though, I was kind of rooting for Shelley, even though I get skeptical about giving outsiders the title belt. But I got excited for that during that brief hope spot before Kane won it. But I'm not gonna complain at all about Kane winning the belt, because really, logically speaking, either him or Myron Reed should be one of the guys to grab the belt, and they've kind of like turned the openweight belt into kind of the workhorse title of MLW, and obviously MLW sees big things for Alex Kane, so we're going to strap him up, you know, as soon as we can, and that, well, as soon as we can happens to be, well, Thanksgiving night, so yesterday at the time of this recording, and who knows when by the time you're listening to this podcast. So, fun episode. You know, we got some solid storytelling going on overall with the continuing saga of the newly formed Bomayi Fight Club and Calvin Tankman, and some things going into, you know, leading to next week, like the Casey Navarro Warhorse match in and of itself. So, great show tonight. A lot of fun overall. You know, with both matches told their tales, has set things up rightly for the future. So, I'm going to wind this thing down. I appreciate everyone taking the time to listen to me, and the patience it's taken, you know, for those of you chopping at the bits for more MLW confusion action. Meanwhile, you know, do what you can to support the podcast if you enjoyed it. You know, tell your friends, family, neighbors, check out the sponsors, and all that good stuff. Just, and for the proper bullet point list, you know, just keep on listening, and I'll see you all next week. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.kofi.com/casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick 45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.